discovered supermodels named Gisele Bündchen and Tyra Banks, strutting down illuminated runways in bedazzled bras and feathery wings. Where else did women seem so powerful and desirable? Hadid's modeling dream was more than a youthful fantasy. Her wealthy mother, Yolanda Hadid, was a former model and now a reality television star. She had helped her daughter land a starring role in a children's campaign for the denim brand Guess. Shortly after Hadid finished high school in Malibu, in 2013, her career took off quickly. Her lean but athletic body, soft round face, and almond-shaped eyes made her unique. She was also charming and down-to-earth, drawing millions of followers on social media by posting candid behind-the-scenes clips and selfies. And yet, even after she had worked with Chanel, Tom Ford, and Vogue, her grandest ambition remained elusive. Victoria's Secret had rejected her from its show in 2013 and 2014. She wasn't ready, they told her. She needed to work harder, which meant working out harder. By the time Hadid earned Razik's blessing in 2015, Victoria's Secret had become the MGM Studios of American retail, a multi-billion dollar machine in the business of blockbuster entertainment, a leader born in the golden age of its industry. Its studio head was the Columbus, Ohio billionaire Leslie Les Herbert Wexner, who had made his fortune in the 1980s by conquering the American mall. Instead of movies, Victoria's Secret released elaborate commercials set in European castles and staged its annual televised fashion variety show. And instead of theaters, the brand counted more than 1,000 manicured stores, the flashiest of which boasted glass staircases and leather-paneled walls. Instead of tickets, Victoria's Secret sold 5 for $25 panties and $45 push-up bras. And instead of leading ladies, it had its angels, personifications of idealized European-American beauty. Each one was the girl next door with a sultry streak, chaste but alluring, never bitter, always approachable, pure and potent fantasies. The target audience was young adult women. But the brand had an outsized effect on American girls born in the late 1980s and early 90s. This was a generation that would never remember a time before Victoria's Secret dominated shopping malls and Super Bowl commercial breaks. Like their mothers before them, these girls grew up on the same inescapable idea hidden in plain sight across American culture. They were told that female sexuality involved little more than simply being seen as sexy. It was a performance. And what did sexy look like? Victoria's Secret was happy to show them. All the while, the company scaled to annual sales of more than $7 billion, while consistently generating double the operating profits of its competitors. The unstoppable performance of Victoria's Secret was a testament to the retailing genius of Wexner, a self-made multi-billionaire, and, until 2020, the longest-running CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He had a 2-year head start on Warren Buffett. Visionary merchants like Wexner dominated American retail in the 20th century. They had taste and instinct and watched their customers closely. They picked the right goods, the ones people didn't even know they wanted. They knew how to package their products with dreams of a better life. Wexner was 25 years old in 1963 when he opened the first location of his first store, The Limited, in Columbus. In the decades that followed, he capitalized on a great American pastime, shopping for things we don't need but desperately want at a sensible price. The Limited became the fast fashion prototype, lifting trends from the European runways and reproducing them cheap and fast for middle-class Americans. Wexner went on to launch and scale other retail mega-hits like Abercrombie & Fitch, Express, and Bath & Body Works. He liked to boast that a $1,000 investment in his nascent corporation in 1969 would be worth $45 million.